makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Amici.
This is Don Amici welcoming back the many stations of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation which rejoin our network tonight and inviting you all to be with us for another Chase and Sanborn Hour. There's another reason why we're especially pepped up tonight for all of us. Nelson Eddy, Dorothy Lavour, Robert Armbruster, and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra will soon join hands across the Pacific and exchange gossip with our happy Hawaiian playboys, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Cablegram for Don Amici. Cablegram for Don Amici.
Me? Give it to me, boy, will you?
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Thank you, Messenger Eddy. You can now get on your bicycle.
Say, I'll bet it's a message from Charlie.
Good guess, Dottie. That's who it's from, all right.
Hey, look, Nels, you been reading my mail?
Well, as Charlie would say, it's hardly worth steaming open.
Prattle, prattle, and small talk. What does my lammy pie have to say for himself?
Patience, Dottie, here is the lowdown. Dear landlubbers, I'm standing by, sitting on Bergen's knee, awaiting the fatal word which allows me to speak to you fellows across the sea. I love you all, but if I find the guy who slipped the termites into my basket of fruit, I'll clip him, so help me, I'll mow him down. Say, look, Nels, you sent the basket of fruit, didn't you?
Yes, I did, but I'm innocent, Don. I swear I'm innocent.
For your sake, Nelson, I hope you are. That McCarthy is a dangerous hombre. But I think he'll be as pleased as we are to know who we have for our special guest this evening, the charming Wendy Berry and the chatterboxy Vera Vague. We hope you'll all enjoy our show and that throughout the week you'll remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn. It's ship ahoy and clear the decks for Nelson Eddy as he sings a hail and hearty song of the billowing waves. I must down to the seas again. Yo-ho, Nelson.
Yo-ho, Don. I must down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by, and the wheels kick and the wind song and the white sail shaking and the gray mist on the sea's face, and the gray dawn to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied, and all I ask is a windy day with the white clouds flying and the flung spray and the blown storm. Again to the vagrant gypsy life, to the gull's way and the whale's way, where the wind's like a wetted knife. And all I ask is a merry, merry yarn from a laughing fellow rover and quiet sleep. And a sweet dream when the long trick over.
To Nelson Eddy's musical discoveries, a very beautiful selection which we feel sure is destined to become an American folk song. The music is by Sidney King Russell and the words by Jesse Stewart, a native of Kentucky who, somewhere between the busy hours of milking cows and tending to his sheep, finds time to jot down his poetic thoughts. Nelson Eddy sings Sandy River.
clover among the spring bloom time, where love and life go on forever, and where I've spun my rhyme. Much have I loved by sandy river girls with the light from here. I thought that love would go on forever, spring be forever fair. The spring for mountains goes forever, but not for us who fade in love and life by sandy river before our dreams are made, before our dust goes back forever to mountain earth we've known, before the sweet time blossoms hither among the gray sandstone. I play the music from this river, will sing for them and me.
The weatherman to be especially good to us, because with his cooperation, we'll hear the voices of our globe-trotting pals, Edgar the Bergen and Charles the McCarthy from Honolulu. Anything is liable to happen with a combination of shortwave and Charlie McCarthy, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. So if the Hawaiian moon will stop its mooning and the witching waves will cease their witching, we'll say, Aloha, Charlie, how are ya?
Oh, I say that's frightfully clever, Mr. Amici. Hello, how are you? Get it, Bergen?
Yes, I get it.
Good, huh?
Yes, I thought that as a welcome, it was excellently worded, unusual, and cleverly put.
Yes. I didn't think it was good either.
No, you
Oh, I tell you, those people on the mainland, they don't know what's good, do they?
No.
Oh, dear. Now, girls, stop it, girls. Go away, you hula girls. Go away.
All right.
Go away.
Charlie, what's the matter with you?
You must leave me alone, Jack.
What are you talking about? There are no hula girls in here.
Oh, Bergen, facts. You'll never get anywhere if you don't develop a little vision. Oh, I see.
Well, never mind that. I'm sure that Don and the gang are more interested in learning about our trip.
Oh, yes. Wasn't that a wonderful trip?
Yes.
Oh, it was so wonderful, Bergen. Oh,
it certainly was.
Yes, it certainly was, yes. Oh, there's nothing like the ocean.
No.
sitting in a deck chair with a salt spray slapping you in the kisser? Oh, that's life.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. You know that boat, you know, it was plowing along through those waves at 20 miles an hour.
No. No, Charlie.
Yes, it was.
No.
Oh, yes.
When one travels on water, he designates distance by knots.
Oh.
Not miles.
Is that so?
Yes.
But I don't care. The boat was going 20 miles an hour.
No, it wasn't. 20 knots.
That's so?
Yes.
All right. Miles to me and knots to you, though.
Well, after that trip, I thought you'd be a real sailor, Charlie.
Well, I ought to be. I talked to the captain, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Did you see the captain's bridge?
I was going... What'd you say? I said...
Did you see the captain's bridge?
Well, only when he laughed. Oh, I...
No. No, I mean, did he take you up there where the pilot wheel is?
Oh, yes, he did, yes. But he wouldn't let me monkey around much up there. I started to turn some of the gadgets, you know.
Yes.
And he threw me out.
Is that so?
He just threw me out. Didn't care. He threw me out. It's just disgusting.
Yes. Well, I'm not surprised.
No?
No. You know, your behavior on that trip was not of the best.
Oh?
No.
Well, it was the best I could do.
Well, I know where I made my first mistake.
What was that?
I gave you a cabin all to yourself.
Oh, that was no cabin. That was just a little hideaway. That was no favor either.
Oh, yes, it was. I think it was very generous of me to give you a cabin.
Yeah?
Yes, very few boys your age have a cabin all to themselves.
Is that so?
Yes.
Do you know how far down in the boat that cabin was?
No. The man told me it was very nice.
The man told you?
Yeah.
Wait till I tell you.
All right. Was it
far down?
Yes.
I don't mind a porthole being painted on the wall. And I didn't mind the passengers coming down there to develop pictures. But when I found out I was sharing accommodations with the propeller shaft, Oh,
I can't believe that.
Yes.
You mean to say the propeller shaft went through your cabin?
It certainly did. I saw so much of it, we started going around together.
Oh. No, well, I don't believe your cabin was that far down.
It wasn't, eh? My cabin was so far down, it was so far down...
Yes?
...that when I came up on A deck, I got the bends.
Oh.
I used to go up in the boiler room for fresh air. Oh. That's what I did.
Well, didn't you really have a porthole in your room, Charlie?
A porthole? All I had in my cabin was a bed, a washstand, and a miner's lamp.
A miner's lamp.
Yeah. It was so far down
that
the directions on my door read, "In case of emergency, don't bother doing anything."
No.
That's getting pretty low, you know.
Yes. Well, that's ridiculous, Charlie. Now, tell me the truth. Weren't you on C deck?
C deck? I was on M.
On M.
M with an umlaut.
Well, now that's just too bad, Charlie.
Yes.
I'm awfully sorry.
Yeah, I know you mean that, too.
Yes. I'm ashamed of myself.
Uh-huh.
It will never happen again.
Yeah. Oh. Ho, ho, melly, melly.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I noticed that every time I went to the dining room, though, or swimming pool, you managed to be down there ahead of me.
Yes, well, a guy has to do something. I came down for exercise.
I see. Yeah. Well, you certainly had a fine time showing off on the diving board.
Yes, that was pretty good there. I'm at my best there.
Yes.
On the old diving board. And I got quite a variety of them now.
Is that so?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I have.
Well, tell me, what is your favorite dive?
Sloppy Joe's. Oh, no. I must control my thoughts.
Yes.
But speaking of diving...
Yes.
Bergen, you should have seen me the day I did a standing, sitting, half-gainer, flying Dutchman dive.
Yes. Well, now, that sounds wonderful. Well, how did you do it?
Well, I started out by falling off the springboard, and then I ad-libbed. So then I went right into my Australian crawl.
I see.
Yeah.
The Australian crawler.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
Yes. You wouldn't know it, Bergen, but that's what it was.
Yes. Charlie, do you know why they call the Australian crawl the Australian crawl?
Yes, I do.
Well, why?
Well, I'll tell you. Do you know anything about Australia?
No, I don't.
Oh, that helps. Here I go. In Australia, there was once a fellow by the name of Crawl, see?
You sure?
Oh, positive.
Yes.
Herman T. Crawl was his name.
Yes.
Now, you take Melbourne, for instance. You've never been to Melbourne, have you?
Yes, I've been to Melbourne.
Oh, you've been there, huh?
Yes.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I guess you better take Sydney.
All right, I'll take Sydney.
Yeah.
I'll take Sydney and you take Melbourne.
Yeah. Or better still, you take me and let Melbourne take Sydney.
All right.
Now we got something.
Yes.
Now, where are we?
Well, you're explaining how the Australian crawl got its name.
Oh, yes, of course, yes, naturally. Yes. Well, I think that sums it up.
Sums what up?
I don't see how I can make it any clearer.
Any clearer?
Yeah.
But you haven't told me a thing.
Well, I've told you all I know.
I believe that.
Now, really, Charlie, now that you've landed here...
Uh-huh.
How do you like Honolulu?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. All those hula girls. Yeah.
And the scenery?
Yes, and the hula girls. And the hula girls.
Yes, and the wonderful surf.
And the wonderful hula girls.
All right. Can't you think of anything but hula girls?
I can, but why should I?
Oh, there are so many things to see here. Why, yesterday I visited Mauna Loa.
Yeah?
Very interesting.
Yeah?
Yes.
Has she got a friend?
Oh, no. Charlie, Mauna Loa is the most famous volcano on the islands.
Well, I didn't know that.
Do you know anything about the islands, Charlie?
They have hula girls.
Yes, I know that.
Well, let me tell you something about Hawaii.
Yeah, pray do.
Yes. It consists of a group of 20 islands discovered by Captain Cook in 1778.
Oh, good.
Yes. They are very fertile and abound with tropical vegetation and fruit.
Uh-huh.
And they are... Charlie.
Well,
are you listening?
Yes.
All right. Are you learning anything?
No, just listening to you.
You sound like you're having a swell time, Charlie, but don't forget we have a date to hear from you again later in the show. Frank Baum's story, The Wizard of Oz, first opened our eyes to the enchanting world above the clouds. Our own enchantress, Dorothy L'Amour, sings one of the many delightfully whimsical tunes from the picture and carries us away to the happy land of imagination over the rainbow.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops, away above the chimney top. That's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I? Thank you. clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I? If raindrops disappear and make a blue sky, if sunbeams make a rainbow in a new sky, if happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
Here's news that's welcome as money from home. Is everybody listening?
This news is money to somebody. $2,500 all in one lump. And just think what you could do with that. Buy a new car, start a business of your own, and that's only one of the prizes in this easy contest. 1,500 other listeners are each going to receive a crisp new $5 bill. All you do is tell us why you changed to Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package. You had your own reason, and now it may be worth $2,500 to you. Was it the fine quality of dated coffee in the new silver package? Did the richness of flavor win you over? Or did you change in appreciation of this radio show of ours? Or because you wanted freshly roasted coffee? There are countless reasons for changing. So many, in fact, that in recent years, more people have changed to dated coffee than to any other. So tell us your reason. Think of that big first prize and 1,500 other chances to win, with duplicate prizes in case of a tie. Now here's all you do. Take the dated front from Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package, and on the inside, write these words. I changed to Chase and Sanborn coffee because. Then, finish that sentence in 25 words or less. Clearness, sincerity, and originality are what count. Mail your entry to Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, that's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. I'll repeat that later, so keep a pencil handy. Be sure to enter this contest when you get your Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package.
Welcome, Matt, to Spick and Span. Our door of hospitality is wide open, and our greeting line is wreathed in smiles as we hail the visit of our lovely guest, Wendy Berry. Miss Berry has just won new honors for her splendid performance in RKO Radio's picture, Five Came Back. And it is my pleasure to appear with her tonight in an original radio sketch written by Arthur Purcell, entitled A Kiss on Time. Presenting Miss Wendy Berry.
Our scene is the Union Railway Terminal in a large city. Standing a little apart from the crowd awaiting trains are two people, a dignified elderly gentleman and a well-dressed young man. At the moment, the young man seems a very distressed young man indeed, as he argues some point or other with his companion.
But honest, Doc, a man can't go up to a perfect stranger and kiss her. I mean, there's a law against it or something. There must be.
No, just a minute, young man. You put yourself in my hands, did you not?
Well, sure. When a guy finds himself wandering around with no idea who he is or where he came from, he gets a little worried. That's only natural.
Certainly. So you came to me?
Yeah, but that was yesterday, and here we are still playing games.
I assure you I've been working continuously on your case. I found out more about you than you realize. And now, after consulting the police, I know all about you.
The police? Wait a minute. I'm not a criminal, am I?
No, you're not a criminal.
Well, who am I, then?
Please, I'll tell you all I know if I have to, but first, I want to see if you can't get your memory back by yourself. And all at once.
Oh, yeah, I know. But this idea about kissing a strange girl, you don't mean it, Doc, do you?
I most certainly do. Just choose the most attractive girl in the station and kiss her. Now, that seems simple enough.
Oh, sure, very simple. What do? Walk up to some perfect stranger. Pardon me, madam, but if you're not doing anything, how about a quick game of spin the bottle? That's fine, that is.
Young man, if you want me to continue on this...
Oh, sure, I do.
Very well, then. You must do as I say. Now, this may mean a quick return of your memory.
Well...
Please, just follow my orders.
Well, I got an awful feeling no good is going to come of this.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I suppose so. Ready as I'm going to be. Well, here goes. Kiss a girl I've never met, a perfect stranger. That's foolishness, that's what it is, pure foolishness. If I had any sense, I'd...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
You were saying something, though.
No, I'm just thinking out loud. Excuse me, please.
Oh, that's quite all right. But you look a little worried.
Well, you'd be worried, too, if you had to go up to a perfect stranger. Say.
What's the matter?
Well, this is marvelous. This is just what the doctor ordered.
What is?
Well, you are.
I am? Say, do you feel all right?
Well, certainly. No, I don't. That's what's so marvelous.
Yes, of course. Now, if you'll excuse me, I find I have to run along.
No, please. I'm all right. Really, I am.
Oh, certainly. You're all right. There's nothing the matter with you. It's just...
Well, yes, there is.
Well, I won't argue the point. Whatever you decide is fine by me.
Well, you see, I want to kiss you.
Oh, certainly you... What?
Well, I mean, that's what my doctor told me.
Say, what is this?
Well, I don't know who I am, and my doctor said if I kissed a strange girl, which is you, that is, you're strange. You're not strange, but you're a stranger. Do I sound like I'd been run over by a truck?
Oh, is that what it was?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. But anything is possible. Really, it's all very confusing.
You can say that again.
Well, it's all my doctor's fault. He prescribed a kiss, and I... Really, I don't mean to be offensive.
Go on. You were just telling me about being run over by a truck.
Oh, no. I just said I must have sounded that way.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, do you mind?
Do I mind what?
Is your memory bad, too? Well, that's great. That gives us something in common, doesn't it?
My memory is very good, but I can't understand your thoughts when you pass them out like bits of a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, now, please don't be mad. I'm really not trying to flirt.
Oh, of course not. Flirting must just seem like child's play to you.
No, I told you, those are my doctor's orders.
Well, I still don't know what you're talking about, of course, but keep on giving me the pieces. Who knows? I might be able to fit them together.
You know, I knew your voice would sound like that.
Like what?
Like it does. I don't know you, do I?
Oh, now, wait a minute. I've heard that one before. Oh, and you started out so originally, too.
No, I've been trying to tell you that I'm not flirting with you.
Of course not.
I'm only speaking to you because I think you're a very understanding girl.
Thank you.
Well, is it all right?
Is what all right?
Oh, now, look, do I have to explain it all over again? I have to kiss you. It's doctor's orders.
Your mind, I mean, you've probably been working awfully hard.
Well, I'm working hard right now at this. And I'd like to get it over with as soon as possible.
Well, isn't that nice? You sound as though you're about to have a tooth pulled.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way.
After all, if I'm going to kiss you, it seems to me the least you could do is act as though you liked it.
I'm sorry.
It's only common courtesy.
Honest, I didn't mean anything. I just want to get it over with as quickly as possible. You see, I'm really a very diffident person.
I know you are, Johnny.
My name. I remember that. That's my name. How'd you know?
Well, I mean, isn't everyone called Johnny who flirts with strange women?
Oh. Well, that's my name anyway. Johnny. And maybe when I kiss you, I'll learn the rest of it. You are going to kiss me, aren't you?
Well, of course, this is highly irregular.
Yeah, but please do. I might have a wife and children who need me. But they're probably worrying themselves sick. And if there are any. Really, you might be doing a big thing for a lot of people.
How many children do you think you have?
Well, of course, I don't know. But the more I have, the finer thing you'd be doing if you'd kiss me.
Oh, but... But your wife may not like it, if you have a wife.
Oh, don't worry about that. If I have a wife, she'll be a grand person. She'll understand. She'll have a...
Say, do you think I really have a wife?
Well, don't you know?
Well, gee, I hope not, because I kind of like to see you again. I like you.
Oh, thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, how about it? Come on. Come on, lady, and make up your mind, will you?
Well, all right. For the sake of your wife and children, if you have any, I'll do it.
Now, look, there's just one condition.
You ask me a favor, and then you start making conditions.
Well, it's only this. You're to throw your arms around me and kiss me goodbye as if you love me very much and didn't expect to see me for a long time.
Whose condition is that?
That's my doctor's. There he is, right over there, do you see?
Yeah. Well, all right. I know. We'll act as if you were just leaving on a long trip.
That's it.
When the train is about to pull out and the conductor shouts, "All aboard," I'll kiss you as if you were really going away.
Do we have to wait? I mean, that seems like an awful waste of time.
That's my condition. It'll be less embarrassing for both of us if people think I'm just seeing you off.
Yeah, but I'm very anxious to...
Yes, I know. Get the whole thing over with. You're not very flattering. Well, but it doesn't matter, because there's the conductor looking at his watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm ready. Are you?
Oh, there you go, making it sound like you were having a tooth pulled again. Oh, I suppose it doesn't matter.
All aboard!
All right. Kiss me.
Oh, Stella, darling, I hate to see you go. Oh. Oh, goodness, that was funny. What happened?
Nothing, Johnny. Why?
Well, just for a minute, I felt pretty dizzy.
You all right now?
Oh, sure, I'm all right. Well, goodbye, darling. I'll see you in a month.
Well, great, Johnny. Where are you going?
What do you mean? You know where I'm going, to San Francisco.
Johnny, do you know who I am?
Well, Sally, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, but who am I?
Well, you're my wife. Darling, do you feel all right?
Well, I feel perfect, but what's my name?
Sally, are you kidding, or don't you feel well?
Oh, please tell me, Johnny. What's my name?
Well, it's Sally Matthews, but I don't see... Sally, look, I'll have to hurry or I'll miss the train. I'll see you in a moment.
Oh, no, Johnny. You said that a week ago.
Sally, you're sick.
Oh, Johnny, come home with me and I'll explain everything.
But, darling, I have a train to make.
Oh, Johnny, that was a week ago.
Sally, whatever has happened to you all of a sudden?
I think you'd better come home with me.
Well, I certainly won't leave you feeling this way. You were all right when we left home a few minutes ago.
John, dear, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That was a week ago.
Something has happened to you. I'm going to take you home and call a doctor. And that... Sally, were you waving to someone?
Uh-huh, yes. That bald-headed old man over there.
Which one?
The one with the sideburns. He's a famous doctor and a very wise old man. Don't you recognize him, Johnny?
I never saw him before in my life. And you stop flirting with strange men, Sally. I don't like it.
This is Don Ameche, and the Jason Sanborn Hour continues. It takes all types of people to make the world, and it takes Vera Vague to confuse it. But we like her kind of confusion, so this evening we welcome our garrulous guest, the only woman who ever won a jitterbug contest with her chin, Vera Vague.
Everyone. Oh, Mr. Ameche, what a charming introduction. It's so pleasant to see you again.
Well, it's pleasant to see you, Miss Vague.
You have such an engaging manner.
Well.
And such a broad smile.
Oh, now, really?
Yes. Looks like the Hollywood Bowl with teeth.
Yes. Well, if you're ready now, Miss Vague, suppose you get ahead with your lecture.
My lecture? Oh, yes, yes. Well, today I thought I'd talk about health. I really don't think there's anything in the world so important as physical well-being. Do you, Mr. Ameche?
Well, I think that goes without saying, Miss Vague.
Yes, well, I've already said it now. And I do believe that in order to preserve optimum health, we should all eat more vitamins.
Oh, there's nothing like a vitamin, I always say. What do you always say, Miss Vague?
Oh, well, I agree with you, Mr. Ameche, continually.
Yes,
I think you're...
and now, precisely, what is a vitamin?
A vitamin?
That's right.
Oh, a vitamin. Well, vitamins are, they're full of things. They contain, vitamins are filled with, well, it doesn't matter. You can't see them with the naked eye anyway.
I see. I suppose, Miss Begg, like most dietitians, you recommend eating a great many green vegetables.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was just going to say that even though the average housewife hasn't the modern cooking devices, she can still get together the most healthful and nutritious meal.
Yeah.
I've even discovered you can save time preparing vegetables if you have an old string musical instrument around. For instance, did you know, Mr. Amici, that you can slice avocados by simply throwing them through the heart? Life is just a bowl of broccoli.
Miss Vag, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but yes. Where in the world did you pick up your knowledge of dietetics?
Well, I've delved into... I'll have you know, young man, I think that question is irreverent, incomprehensible, and immature.
You mean the question is irrelevant, incompetent, and immaterial?
Well, I'm glad to hear you admit it. Oh, poor Mr. Amici, you look so nonplussed. At any rate, I learned a good deal about diet and health from a very famous physician who used to court me. A very attractive young man.
Well, he got away.
Yes, he got away. He went away. Hi. Let's get back to the subject here.
Yes, let's.
Yes. What is the subject?
Health, medicine.
Oh, good for you. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Amici. I remember my doctor friend explained to me that the influenza germ known as the pleomorphic streptococcus often affects one's vision. The patient has to be very careful. He's apt to become streptococci.
Miss Vague, I don't want you to think I'm criticizing, but will you please tell us something constructive? So far, you haven't told us a great deal of anything.
Well, I have, too. You just haven't been paying attention.
Well, I haven't gotten a thing out of it.
Well, I'm certainly not responsible for your deficiencies, Mr. Amici.
Miss Vague, I'm not the stupidest person in the world.
Mr. Amici, how can you be so bitter?
I'm not bitter. Miss Vague, it's a lucky thing you're a woman.
Oh, you're sweet, Mr. Amici.
And I'm not sweet either.
Well, what are you then? Make up your mind, please. I haven't got all day, you know.
Miss Begg, let me make it clear. I know something about your subject. As a matter of fact, in college, I even took a little medicine.
Well, did you feel better? No, no. No, I'm afraid medicine isn't going to help you, Mr. Amici. It's those nasty tempers that are upsetting you.
This nasty temper is going to upset both of us in about 1 minute.
Well, bless your heart. But truly, I don't think any of us would have to worry about diet and health if we just obeyed the laws of nature. For instance, just look at the little fish in the sea. You never hear of them getting sick. They never even have a sore throat or a cold, for that matter.
I suppose you have a theory about that, too.
Oh, yes. I think you'll find that's due to the fact that the fish have so much opportunity for gargling.
Yeah, that's it. That must be it.
Yes. Oh, I think nature's a wonderful thing, don't you, Mr. Amici?
Well, look, Miss Vague, will you give us your conclusions about keeping healthy and fit?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm in favor of it. You mean how to do it? Yes, indeed. Well, I think exercise is half the battle. Swimming, golf, horseback riding, and all that sort of thing.
And do you swim, play golf, ride horseback, and all that sort of thing?
Please, Mr. Amici, what sort of thing?
I don't know, Miss Vague. Let's settle for horseback riding.
Oh, yes. I just love horseback riding. In fact, you know, Mr. Amici, I was practically raised on a horse.
Well, how nice for you.
Yes, of course, being raised on a horse isn't so bad. It's the coming down again that bothers me. But there you are. Or are you?
And you feel it's lusty outdoor exercise that brings the glow of health,
hmm? Yes, indeed. Yes, I always say there's absolutely nothing more beneficial than driving out in the country with your tires filled with this wonderful California air. Your lungs. Well, I don't care. Thank you anyway.
We never knew that double talk was a necessary requisite for a singer to possess until we heard Nelson Eddy's swell interpretation of the song entitled The Cork Leg.
This musical novelty is full of fun, spirit, and humor, and we insist is as pretty a piece of classical double talk as we've ever heard. Nelson, the cork leg.
I'll tell you a story that is no sham. In Holland lived a merchant man, and every morning he said, "I am the richest merchant in Amsterdam." One day he sat as full as an egg when a poor relation came in to beg, and knocking him down with a brogue and a cake and kicking him out, he broke his leg. And standing one-legged like a stork, he started to brag with a lot of talk. He said, "Upon crutches I never will walk, for I'll have a beautiful leg of cork." A doctor came on his vocation and made a thorough examination, and over it made a long oration and finished it off with an amputation. When the leg was on and finished right, they buckled it up and they screwed it tight. But still he went with a bit of a hop. When he found the leg, it wouldn't stop. O'er hedges and ditches and store and plain, to rest his wearied limbs he'd fain. He threw himself down, but all in vain. The leg got up and away again. He called to them that were in sight, "Stop me or I'm wounded quite." Although their aid he did invite, in less than a minute he was out of sight. And he kept running from place to place. The people thought he was running a race. He clung to a post for to stop the pace, but the leg it still kept up the chase. O'er hedges and ditches and plain and scorn, and Europeans traveled o'er. Although he's dead and is no more, the lake goes on as it did before.
More good news now from a friend of yours who was always first with the latest.
Thanks, Don. And the latest is that one of our listeners is going to win $2,500 in one big lump of cash. What's more, 1,500 others are each going to receive a crisp new $5 bill to buy hats or shoes or something for the house. And with a grand prize, you can start building a home or send your boy or girl to college. Go after those wonderful cash prizes. I'll tell you how. Write this down. Take a dated front from Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package and write on the inside, "I change to Chase and Sanborn coffee because." Then finish that sentence in 25 words or less. Send as many entries as you wish. If one doesn't win, the next one may. Anyone in the United States may enter except Chase and Sanborn employees and their families. All entries become the property of Chase and Sanborn, and the decision of our judges is final. It's an easy contest because there are so many reasons for changing to dated coffee. In recent years, more people have changed to it than to any other blend. And we want your reason. Was it because the delivery date on the new silver package protects you from stale coffee? Or because the flavor is richer? Or to save money? Tell us in your own way. Mail your entries to Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Go after one of those 1,500 $5 bills, or better still, first prize, $2,500, cash. If that old devil shortwave will listen to our pleas, we'll hear from our vacationing colleague Edgar Bergen and his very unusual guest tonight, a fraternity brother and college classmate of Ed's.
Lieutenant Frank Kremmel, one of the country's greatest authorities on traffic safety. His successful accident prevention work in Evanston has been adopted by cities all over the nation. So we extend our welcome to them all from Hollywood to Honolulu.
That's Beachcomber McCarthy singing.
Charlie.
Charlie, what is it, Bergen?
You remember Frank Kremmel back in Northwestern, don't you?
Oh, yeah, Frank Kremmel. Oh, it's a small world. Good old Frank Kremmel, huh?
You remember him?
Remember him? I never heard of him.
Here, Charlie. You mean you don't remember me?
Well, as a rule, I don't care much for policemen. As a rule, see?
Oh, you don't, eh?
No.
As a rule.
Yeah, as a rule, yes, I don't care. And you're no exception, copper.
Don't call me copper.
Okay, flatfoot.
Another crack like that, McCarthy, and I'll take you down to the beach and use you for a surfboard.
Yeah, why you...
Charlie, gentlemen, let's not forget this is a reunion of classmates.
Yes, I think it's going to develop into a horrible friendship.
Frank, it's good to get together again after all these years, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, Edgar, you look just the same as you did then.
Yeah,
come on now, Lieutenant. Take another look. A good one.
Well, Charlie, I still say that Edgar's appearance hasn't changed a bit since college.
Yeah.
Same nose.
Yeah.
Same eyes.
Yeah. Raise your sights, Lieutenant. That ain't pink hair. He uses skin lotion for hair tonic.
Charlie.
Keep out of this, Bergen. Say, officer, tell me something about the Bergen that used to was.
Well, I don't want to talk out of turn, Charlie.
Oh, well, that's all right. This is just between you and me and the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, I can tell you this, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Edgar used to be the life of every party.
Yeah, oh, he's changed now. Sort of mellowed with age, I guess.
Yeah, he was athletic in those days, too.
Oh, he's changed, He gets winded now when he plays chess. He's changed, too.
As I remember it, though, Charlie, he never was what you would call a spendthrift.
Oh, same old Bergen, huh?
Say, Edgar, do you remember freshman initiation?
Oh, I sure do, Frank. Boy, did I get paddled.
Yeah? Where?
Well, in the fraternity. Oh, that hurts.
Say, Charlie, did Edgar ever tell you about the moving picture we made together?
No, he didn't, Ossifer Kremmel.
Oh, I remember that one, Frank. I said I was going to give up ventriloquism because there was no future in it. And I was going to become an actor in the movies.
Yeah, well, tell us how you made out, Bergen. Ho, 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 ho. Why don't you run the picture off sometime? Is it a talkie?
No, we made the entire story in pantomime.
Oh, pantomime, where is that?
Oh, it was a silent picture.
Yes.
There was no sound.
Yeah.
Been better if there was no film out there.
See here, Charlie, I don't think you really appreciate Edgar.
No.
I've always considered him a man of rare gifts.
Rare gifts is right. I have yet to get one from him.
Well, now, Charlie, that is not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Okay, so it's not.
Yes. You remember that I gave you an automobile for Christmas.
Oh, that junk heap.
No, that. Well, you made it a junk heap.
Oh, I did?
Yes. You know, Frank, I gave Charlie a car for Christmas, and in less than 2 weeks, it was in the junkyard.
Now, that is not true. That is a fibberoo.
Yeah. It's in the junkyard.
No, sir, the junkyard refused it.
Oh, it is.
What did you do, Charlie? Hit another car?
I didn't miss it. Crash, bang. Oh, it was gruesome.
Yeah. Were you still in the car after the accident, Charlie?
In it, I was wearing it.
Well, Charlie, if I'd been the officer on that post, I'd have had your license revoked.
Yeah, well, who was driving with a license? Oh.
Driving without a license?
Yeah.
Charlie, I can see that you don't understand the importance of careful driving.
Yeah.
Do you realize that in the United States there is one person injured every half minute?
Is that so?
Yes.
My, doesn't he get awfully tired of it?
Well, let me put it another way then, Charlie.
I wish you would, or just push it away.
Do you know what type of accident causes the greatest loss of lives?
Fatal ones?
No, now, Charlie. Now, you know that's not the right answer.
Well, I thought it was pretty good, though. Just thought it slipped it in.
No.
I think it's funny, don't you?
No, I don't think it's
not funny.
It's not funny.
I think it is.
It is not funny.
Have I had? All right. So it's pilau.
If you think that ain't local, you're kidding. He's a tough pupil, Frank.
Well, I'm finding that out, Edgar. Charlie, let me ask you something.
By all means do, officer.
Do you understand the system of hand signals?
I think so. I'm a scoybout. I'm in a Boy Scout, you know.
Well, if the driver ahead of you puts his hand out and holds it up...
Yeah?
What does it mean?
Well, is it a man or a woman?
Oh, what's the difference, Charlie?
What's the difference? You haven't been driving long, have you, Lieutenant?
Well, not long enough to take care of you. I can see that. But patience is a necessary attribute for an enforcement officer, so I'll try again.
Oh, do.
Charlie, can you answer this?
Yes, sir.
Is it permissible to park by a fire hydrant?
Permissible to park by a fire hydrant, huh? Well, sir, that all depends on...
Depends on what?
On whether you're driving a fire engine. That's pretty good.
Charlie, I'm speaking of a private car. You are never permitted to park a private car in front of a fire hydrant.
Well, your car is in front of a hydrant now.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
What makes you think so?
Because I had to push it up there so I could make room for my car.
Charlie.
So long, Lieutenant. I'll be seeing you in traffic court.
When Charles Wakefield Cadman composed his musical classic, The Builder, he expressed many things beyond the mere process of construction, the simple use of steel and wood by man. Nelson Eddy gives voice to his unusual and beautiful message.
Builder of castle and hall, and I lay the stone in the temple wall. I lay the stone and I raise the tower, and mine is the glory of strength and power. Hear me sing the song of the sled as its echoes ring. I am the builder who works with me the glory of cities upraised shall see. And the towers that rise to the arch of the skies. For I am the builder on work with me. Glory of souls risen on. soul that is clean and whole. For I am not killed by walk with me.
Robert Amon Brewster and the Chasin' Sanborn Orchestra play their version of that school days classic, I Love Coffee. Come to the end of another Chasin' Sanborn hour, an hour that's made possible by your purchases of Chasin' Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll be back next week. Nelson Eddy, Dorothy Namur, and Robert Armbruster and the Chasin' Sanborn Orchestra. Our special guests will be Madeline Carroll, who is en route from Europe to join us, and Misha Auer. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir. Next week, another big Chasin' Sanborn hour. Madeline Carroll, Don Amici, Nelson Eddy, Dorothy Namur, Misha Auer, and Robert Armbruster and the Chasin' Sanborn Orchestra.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.